estate services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 400. I'm Adam and thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Master.
Mary Lang.
We're running through Paris.
Debbie Melrose.
No, I won't.
And Matthew Kressel.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
I thought you might say that. I wonder where you got that idea from.
You're just going to say that and then you're leaving?
Are you talking to me or Matthew? Both me and Matthew did the goodbyes, didn't we?
Matthew, because it was that when you signed up.
Very short visit by Matthew.
Yeah.
Well, it was either that or, well, Big Finish has got an audio that.
Yeah, that would be good too.
All right, let's add somebody else into the mix. I hope it works. I hope he's ready, actually. Did he message me to say he was ready? Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll ring him anyway. Yes, it's the patron of the show, if indeed he... Is he there? Are you there? Oh, he's gone. Oh, we'll wait for him to come back again. Hopefully a little... tell me he's ready later on. Anyway, here we are, episode 400.
No.
Yes. I wonder why I've managed to put up with you, Kirby, for at least 300 of those 400 episodes.
More than that.
Is it? Oh, I thought we might come up with the exact figure.
Oh, I can do that.
I'd rather you didn't.
Give me a second.
Sure you can.
I didn't know that you wanted it, so it'll take me just a few seconds to find the link.
I'd rather you didn't. And also, I'd like to ask the rest of you, on the topic of hanging around all this time, I always did wonder, and I thought now's the appropriate time to ask, as why haven't you got anything better to do on a Sunday evening?
This is the best thing to do on a Sunday evening.
Well, when I do, I'm not here. You know that.
Yes. That doesn't count.
I don't have impending writer's deadlines for a change.
Well, you never show up anyway, Matthew.
Well, I'm here now. What more do you want from me, Adam?
Exactly, yes.
I'm getting told off. So what we'll do, I don't know, probably my voice is too loud. I don't think yours are. I can hardly hear you guys. So anyway, I just got told off for being too loud.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, no. Okay, I first appeared on in a non feedback mode in episode 46.
Yeah. So Hank, and weren't you in the next one?
The next one was just you and Andrew. So then I was in the next one.
Hmm.
I was in three more, then nothing for a while. I don't know why.
Do you remember those little toys that you used to get? You used to sling them against the window. You used to, like, stick to the window, and then you used to sort of slide down the window. You see, yep. You're still stuck to the window there, Kirby. You never did you slide off.
No,
I'm still stuck, yeah.
starting with episode 54, I've been on almost all of them.
Yes, wow. I know. I used to have hair at the beginning of this thing. Anyway, right.
Is that what happens?
What happens what?
When you're on here long enough, you lose your hair.
No, the hair moves from the top of the head to the bottom of the head, as you can see. Anyway,
I was going to say, is it like the Homer Simpson thing, where the further it goes along, the more you rip your hair out?
Probably. Just having daughters, I think, Matthew, to be fair.
Yes,
anyway, while
exactly.
You're on, Matthew, while you're making this rather rare, but rather very welcome appearance on the show, I have to say, what did you think of the most recent series of Doctor Who?
I have to be perfectly honest and say that due to a combination of writing and work being very busy at work, I actually have only seen about half the season, so I can't pass complete comment on it just yet. I do have to go back and finish it at some point.
What sort of a Doctor Who fan are you?
Yeah.
Apparently not a very good one.
he posts about Doctor Who on Facebook 12 or 13 times a day, but he hasn't watched the latest series, okay?
Well, that's a perfect opportunity for you, Kirby. In reliance to the spoiler thing that you like to impart on people.
What?
Spoiling. You like to spoil people, don't you?
Yes.
Hmm.
I like to be spoiled.
Oh, you like to be spoiled. We don't like spoiling. No? Okay, so, right then. Right. Well, stuff's coming through on the rather scary feed that's currently on Facebook, because this particular episode is going out on my personal timeline, which is very scary in itself. And that, why should that be a scary thing, everybody? Why should us Doctor Who fans be scared to share our Doctor Who fandom amongst people who are normal? Oh, Debbie's gone very quiet.
But we're normal.
Debbie, I'd like to point this at you, actually, because while you were working in the post office the first time, when the co-op was up and running, I was working for about 2 years before I realised you were a Doctor Who fan, when your phone went off and with the TARDIS logo on your text messages.
It's still on there, yes. So not embarrassed to be a Doctor
Who
fan.
You're not embarrassed, okay. So
I'm not
hiding in the shadows. Why do we have to hide in the shadows? Why are we embarrassed to talk about things like this?
I'm not.
More than happy to talk about Doctor Who, but
to other Doctor Who fans.
Well, just never really came up with anyone, that's the thing, so I didn't ever shove it into people's faces. I'm a Doctor Who fan, I'm a big Doctor Who fan.
A lot of people do, and you know. But yes, us sort of geeks, but Fred are scared to a certain degree of getting the mickey taken out of us for our tastes in television programs. What do you think, Mary?
Well, whenever I'm out wearing any of my Doctor Who wear, and someone will comment, because, I mean, like Debbie says, I don't shove it in people's faces, but if someone comments on a shirt or pin or something that I have, you know, I unfortunately make the assumption that, oh, you're a Doctor Who fan too, so I'll launch into, you know.
That does happen. That is the problem.
And then they kind of back away because, you know, like, well, I've only heard of it, or, oh, I've only seen a little of it. It's like, there isn't a whole lot of Doctor Who fandom in, you know, the U.S. generally.
Right. I think that the Americans are slightly more open-minded.
If you are wearing a shirt or your phone goes off and somebody comments, they don't realize the beast they're about to unleash.
I know, exactly. So I embarrass myself many times, you know.
Yes, well, I do feel sometimes
When I'm driving, when I'm driving, if I see another car with Doctor Who stuff, like stickers or decals or whatever, I get all excited still.
Well, don't get too excited, because, of course, you can indeed run over a squirrel or something like that if you don't pay attention to driving, Kirby.
Well, I had my car work done recently, and my back plate has a frame around it that says, you know, my other car is a TARDIS.
Nice one, Mary.
Yes, what?
That's a nice one. That's very good.
Okay. Well, anyway, so when the guy was telling me about my car, and he says, oh, and I noticed your plate frame. He says, you know, I've heard that Doctor Who, and I took a deep breath to, you know, launch into it like I do. And he says, yeah, my kids watch it. It's like, oh, okay.
That's just not on.
All right. Well, all right. I'm not going to admit to being that much of a fan then.
There we go.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty.
It's a family show, isn't it, Debbie?
Yeah, it's a family show.
Yes. Well, I've got some stuff coming through on the feed. Lauren Nick says, woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo!
And then she says, hi. And then she says, why aren't you wearing a party hat?
We were.
It's embarrassing enough having to launch this particular show on the general airwaves. Enough of that, I'm not making myself look even stupider wearing a party hat. But thanks for the idea. As far as it's going to go. Mandy Moore said, just back from delivering a milk tray. Andy Nunny says, well done on 400. I'm toasting you with a bottle. Hang on. Is it still January? He's toasting us a bottle of San Miguel. Oh, it says 0%
alcohol.
Well done, Andy. And Lillian Robin says, that was me that said hi. Eh?
Hi.
How'd that work out then? Oh, sorry, Lillian. Well, that's a similar, starts with the etterel. Jeff Waddle says, deep breath, said Mary, this is a competition. Oh, hang on. Is this a competition? I beg your pardon. Sorry, it's bifocals, or varifocals on these.
How geeky we are.
Yeah, geeky. No, I was musing about this while stood on the self-service tills for 4 hours a day, that it can be a bit, you know, when somebody approaches you and sort of notices you're wearing a bit of Doctor Who garb, they're either going to say, well, that's a really cool scarf, or they might notice a certain logo on your arm or something like that. But a lot of the time you do get people saying, oh, you're a Doctor Who fan? Well, that's crap, isn't it? What do you see that stupid bird that plays her now? She rubbish.
Well, what about this morning, when I saw you this morning, the lady next to us looked like we were complete aliens when we were talking about Doctor
Who. You are.
What did this lady next to us look like?
She had brown hair, middling height, seemed quite jolly.
Was she a member of staff or a customer?
No, she wasn't. She was when I gave you your present, finally.
No, I can't remember that, but I've zoned out. I was just looking at my my little special weapons Dalek, and I didn't notice or see anything else.
Finally, I've been carrying that around with me for weeks.
Yes, I know you have. It's nearly a month since Christmas.
I know.
Laurie Nick says, those progressive lenses aren't working, Adam. Well, they're really designed to be reading stuff about that sort of distance, not all the way over there. So there's a certain part of the lens that I can actually see things with. There you go. That wasn't particularly interesting, but it was a fact. So, what should we do? Oh, I've got some feedback that's come through. Right then, let's see what we got here. We've got Josh. If it's too long, Debbie, I'm going to send it to you. I mean the feedback, not anything else. I discovered podcasts only a few years ago when I first listened to the 20 megabyte podcast. Initially, I thought you were all in the same room. Thank goodness we're not, because I probably would have throttled Kirby by now.
Yeah.
Like some, and so would have Mary.
We should work on that.
And Mary has been in the same room as Kirby and managed to not throttle him. Like some crazy demented family. Steady on, Joshua. Excuse me, yes. Kirby. I'm currently reading a very important bit of literature that has been sent to us by Joshua Dybel. At least I think it's Joshua. Oh, yes, yeah. Once I'd realised you were scattered in different locations, the next thing was imagining what you all looked like. Well, just imagine on. I look quite similar, in fact, to Zac Efron, maybe with a slightly less hair. One of the funniest things was that for a long time I visualised Kirby as looking like Frozone from The Incredibles. He does! Hang on, the dog wants to come in. Come on, Magic. Frozone,
I'm going to try and make a gif of that.
What? Of Kirby as Frozone.
Where is my super suit?
Of course, eventually I started tuning in via Facebook and got to know you much better. It was incredibly interesting to listen to the episodes from the very beginning to discover how it all started. I did, in fact, go and talk about episodes from the very beginning. I did invite the co-creator of the show on, shall we say she politely declined. I listened to several Doctor Who podcasts, and what keeps me coming back to 20 megabyte is your down-to-earth approach and humour of the show. I hope you can all keep it up. That's what she said. Keep up the great work. Well, good work, actually. Not great. Big pardon. All the best, Josh. Well, I think he's trying to say that it's the unprofessionalness of the show that he likes. Beg your pardon, Mary?
Oh, I just said thank you, Josh.
Yes, thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Anyway, right.
Thank you.
There's more. Jeff Waddle has written a poem. It says, here is a couple of limericks what me and my good friend Pam Ayres writted. Just wait.
I'm almost afraid.
I haven't started yet and you're laughing.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've got a message come through before I start.
Grammar is very
hang on. It's a very important message. It's a swear word. Oh, hang on. All right. Well, before we move on with Jeff's, we'll save Jeff's poem for a moment because I'm just going to add on my special guest to the call. I do hope he can actually answer. Don't scare him, everybody.
Don't scare him.
I should be lift music.
Should we be scared?
No, not at all. I'll be scared even more so if he doesn't answer. Maybe I should play some lift music. What's going on? Why didn't he answer? Let's try that again. Hang on. I better ask. I'm trying to multitask here. I'll do the poem then. Here we go. A podcast about Doctor Who, 20 megabytes surely would do. Quite often it's more, but we ain't keeping score. Well, Kirby is. Just enjoy it. They do. So should you. 400 up now. Quite a feat. And I'm not doing this right, am I, Debbie? I'm not doing it in the limerick way. I forgot now. How do you do a limerick?
Du, 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 du.
Oh, yeah. 400 up now, quite a feat. and each one has been a treat. I can't do it like a limerick. So that's one and all. So thanks, one and all, sorry. I should send these to you.
Yeah.
Been one hell of a ball. 20 megabyte will never be beat. And thought I was going to rhyme white with shite. Didn't you? Have a blast. And genuinely, thanks for all the hours of entertainment. It's been great. And here's to many more. I'm glad he said that bit, because it did rather sound a bit final. To be fair. Right then. Right, you talk amongst yourselves. Ow, I just banged my knee. And I'll find out what's going on with Toby.
Jeff, hey, that rhymes. I've noticed Jeff is still using as his profile picture when he put on that white wig to make fun of me.
Yes.
He snapped it. And I'm flattered.
He's kept that up for about a year nearly, hasn't he?
Yeah, at least a year, yeah. So I appreciate that, Jeff.
So do I. I've got a bruise on my knee now.
Oh.
To add to my bad back, bag, shoulder, and other ailments. That the Garm is currently sat in his normal spot by the back of the front door there. He smells nice today, had a bath. Right, what have we got here? We've got Joshua Dybal with the laughy face emojis, and Jeff Waddle replying to Laurie. Lenses. The War Chief denies those lenses aren't working. This is going right over the heads of the non-Doctor Who fans, who have probably all turned off anyway. Lorinick said, when I first listened, I thought Adam was bullying Martinet. What's that mean?
Martinet.
I know the bullying. Oh, Martinet. Oh, sorry.
A Martinet is like a puppet.
Then I listened a bit more and realised that he was indeed a bullying Martinet. No, I didn't say that. But he was trying to herd cats. That's a very polite way of putting it, Laurie. And was astounded by his compassionate reserve. Thank you, Laurie. That deserves one of these. That's her bell as well, funny enough.
A martinet is like a mechanized little puppet thing. You know, it moves very rigidly, and you know, you see those on Swiss clocks.
Right. Talk amongst yourselves again. I'm now going to resort to some technical stuff to see if I can get Toby on. This is Toby Haydoke, everybody.
Woo!
Whoa!
I'm trying to get him on. It's not working. I'll try again.
Well, I've got a very important thing to ask Toby Haydock.
Have you? It'd be funny if he came out that precise moment. All right. Okay, then that's not working, is it? I wonder if I should call him.
Lick is ever on our 400th episode.
Yeah, so no, you carry on.
Yeah, have you got any other surprises?
No.
For
Kirby doesn't like surprises. He likes to be well prepared.
Right.
Well, that's why he likes spoilers.
I tried to be prepared yesterday, and Master kept asking the questions I was getting ready to ask.
Oh, sure.
I do apologize.
Yes.
Sound like you're just as on top of things as Adam. Actually, you just were sitting by in unspeakable awe.
Just talk amongst yourselves. I'm just having a conversation with Toby Haydoke in regards to trying to get him on the show. Bear with.
You mean Toby Haydoke?
Yes. Who said that? Who was it calling him Toby Haydoke?
Who was that? That was a
was
podcast.
Was somebody on the WhoCast?
I think so, yeah.
No, it was...
Silence isn't good on an audio presentation.
Yeah, because I know the WhoCast folks could never pronounce his name right, even when they got him on to interview him on the Doctor Who podcast, which succeeded it. So, yes, go figure.
I think we did have a conversation, actually, myself and Toby, about the mispronunciation of his name. But there you go. Where are we up to? We got... Alan T. Butcher says he's fed back, Debbie.
Oh, good. Okay.
That could be create a comfortable link for me to do some background... technical work on the show. Laurie Nick said, no, it's a disciplinarian. That's I think that's what she's saying, that I was a disciplinarian in regards
you
to...
You are.
Shut your face. And
and we love your disciplinary measures, too.
Unfortunately, would the show work without you lot shutting up when I'm talking? Probably not. Anyway, Jeff Walter said, kept it up for a year. I wish. That's what she said. You lot are so smutty. Right then, so where are we up to? I was trying to get Toby on, isn't it? Well, actually, what I'll do, I'll get Alan T.
Stay
Butcher's.
Focused.
I'll do the poem. Right, the poem. Oh, no, I've done that, haven't I? I'll send the poem later on back to, what's her name? Oh, yeah, Debbie Melrose. And get her to read it as it's supposed to sound.
But, okay.
Do you like that, the sound of that then, Debbie?
Yeah, you could do that.
No, I'm going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not.
See, I don't really have a say.
No, you don't. All right, then. I'm going to just pop through to you. Said blurb from Mr. T. Butcher of Allenness, if I can get it to copy and paste. It's not working particularly well. Mm-hmm. And where's the thingy gone? Oh, there it is. Right, here we go.
Fascinating audio podcast.
But where's indeed. The
tech guy? Keeping it going, Kirby. This is a live show.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, so you do that bit while I sequence. I'll attend to Toby.
Oh God, he's used words that I don't really do well. Oh, okay, never mind. Adam Pearson's Human Zoo, or Galactic Center 0.0, aka the Isle of Wight. Dear 20 Megabyters, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is, of course, a closely studied and precisely scripted podcast, which is currently in the midst of a comprehensive pedagogical survey of the Doctor Who phenomena on television, with additional systematic coverage of other aspects of the programme's oeuvre. Founded as a family podcast in which a father and daughter argued to the great entertainment of the audience and memorably uncovered as a fine piece of performance art by Sean from the TARDIS Tavern, it has matured into a complex interaction of a wider 20 megabyte family with a sophisticated squabbling scenario.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Can we use that as the fan? That's wonderful. Beneath the surface lurk those of us who add words, sounds, and sometimes legs, which enrich the deep hinterland of the podcast, not least on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
We can? I already have.
Noted that whilst Kirby often pretends to be an American from Georgia, he is well known, in fact, to be the Honourable Aubrey Waits, now living under the name Kirby of Cows, where he is the proprietor of a local shop for local people in this offshore English town with bovine-related nomenclature, or whatever, I can't say that properly. We also learn that Debbie can be relied upon to read feedback so far she trips up on awkwardly orchestrated lexical conglomerations or otherwise thesaurus-busting usages, even when Siri doesn't interrupt her. It didn't! Yes! But Mary does usually measure her tempo to avoid many of these pitfalls, but never mind there. All in all, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is a very successful iteration. The podcast paradigm is everyone who engages with it is in for a treat. This podcast is perhaps generally an indeterminate time too short, as you can always listen more to great people having a great time talking about a great TV show. Next up, Doctor Who and Ben returns to get more stuff wrong, or Reese finally starts to run out of excuses and occasionally has to be on a podcast. It is understood Matthew will remain missing in action unless there turns out to be a big finish. Those thank you.
Very good.
My thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Slightly shorter than his normal one, that's what she said.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yes, that was. That was pretty good.
Filled the gap nicely while I eventually get a certain number that I need to actually get through to Toby, which also means I can actually play this.
Hello, this is Peter Capaldi. Listen. It's not really, it's me here, Jeff. Look, I'm not very good at these things, but I thought it was a worthwhile 400 episodes in for me to record a message saying, thanks very much for all the hard work you've put in. Thanks to all the people who are on it, Mary, Kirby, yourself, Adam, Debbie, Andy, Ben, Magic, and all the kids and that. And just saying, thanks very much. 400, here's to 400 more. Cheers, have a good one.
Right.
Amongst themselves.
Well, Matthew, I have a question for you. You probably know this since you keep more on top of the big finish than I do. I know that Toby Haydock has been in a recent big finish audio drama. Do you remember which one it is?
Not off the top of my head, because I know
I haven't heard it. I know, but I have heard about him being in it, but I don't remember which one it is.
Do you like those little tunes? That's me dialing up Mr. Hodoke. Here we go. hopefully it'll work this time.
Unless he gets super fed up of waiting for you to die.
No.
Hello, Toby.
Hello.
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 Hello. Checks in the post.
Oh, that sounds like a cacophony of lots of different noises.
It is. It's lots of different, I'll put it politely, people.
I don't know why it hasn't worked on Skype. I'm sorry about that.
Skype's been playing up all evening.
I had to start a new account about 18 months ago when it went to Microsoft or whatever it did, and I lost all my old contacts and had to build a new Skype account. I don't know why that... Anyway,
that's probably why I couldn't get you then. I should have done that bit of research before the show.
I've found you and I've sent you an invite from the new account, so...
Yeah, I'll probably see that once I hang up this call. So how are you, Toby?
All right. I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, not bad. You know, getting used to January.
Yes. And what do you think of being roped into doing this show so many times that it's about time you got paid for it?
Oh, well, you know, it keeps me off the streets. Keeps me on the straight and narrow.
It doesn't keep me on the straight and narrow.
Assaulting random strangers with arcane trivia about Quatermass and the Pit or the Pirate Planet, you know.
I'll introduce the others because I don't think you've been on while the others have been on. We've got Mary Lang.
Hi.
Hello, Mary Ann. Hello.
No, Mary Lang.
It's Lang.
Yeah, L-A-N-G. And
Mary. Hello, Mary Lang.
Mary.
We've got Matthew Kressel.
Hello, sir.
Oh, I know of Matt. I'm sure I've conversed with Matthew online, or I've just seen you saying things on Twitter then. I feel like I know you.
You actually get to converse with him.
Yes, we're both members of the same Quatermass group on Facebook, where I was promoting your recent adaptation of Neil's missing TV drama, The Road.
That's why I know your name, and I attach a certain level of gratitude and fondness to it.
Yes,
there we are.
Toby, I did pre-warn you were allowed to name drop, so congratulations for that one. We've got Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Oh, you know me too. Okay.
Yes, that's not a good thing all the time.
Yes.
Oh, he's gone all gooey and fanboyish. And Debbie Melrose.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello. We met very briefly a couple of years ago when we were up in London.
Yes, when we were waiting for a photograph of Peter Capaldi.
Yes. How funny.
And you were busy presenting. How long ago was it? The Doctor Who Festival, was that 4 years ago?
Three or four years now, yeah.
Gosh almighty.
Sorry.
Time flies.
Now, we were just discussing the recent Big Finish escapades you've been involved in. Because I know, obviously, last time I spoke to you, I think you'd done the sequel to The Robots of Death.
Robophobia.
Oh, yeah.
Robophobia, that's the one.
Robophobia. Well, yes, I've done another one set on Kaldor City since that, called The Sons of Kaldor.
Yes.
Which, are you still there?
Yes.
you were listening. I'm so sorry. I'm not used to them.
We do that sometimes.
I did one, because I think what happened with The Sons of Kaldor was that they decided they wanted... the same people who played the robots in Robophobia. Now, I wasn't cast as a robot in Robophobia. I played a human protagonist, but we all ended up playing robots. And without giving anything away to the plot, it was quite important that I played a robot as well as my human person. And so I think they just went, well, we need a couple of robots. So who we got on speed dial? And so they got myself and John Dorney, neither of us strangers to the lands of Big Finish, to give our robots, so there was some sort of internal consistency within the Big Finish range of anything set with the robots from the Robots of Death. So and it's quite a nice part because he's a robot with a sort of poetic streak to him, and I know Andrew Smith, who wrote it, but he didn't lobby for me or anything. It was just a nice coincidence that I turned up in his thing.
Fantastic.
And for non-Doctor Who fans who may indeed be listening stroke watching, You may have remember Toby from, there was a certain advert you in, weren't you? We played a policeman, Toby.
Oh, gosh, Hawking crisps for money. Yes. it's funny, I must do this more often, actually, because I tweeted from the audition for that, because I was sitting in the audition room waiting, and actually I was due to go in with, they auditioned us in pairs, and somebody I knew came in, so we said, oh, we'll go in together, so they paired us up. And then just as we were about to go in, a man who'd played a policeman in The Bill for about 15 years came in, and so I just tweeted, I'm at the audition for a role playing a policeman. A man who was in The Bill for 15 years has just come in. I don't think I'll be playing the policeman. And actually, I did get the policeman.
Yes, you did.
me and my friend did. I know the guy who was whose advert campaign it was, a comedian called Jason Cook. So I suspect he put a good word in for us, because as an actor, I've been up for billions of adverts and I've never got one of them, and then just by coincidence, me and a guy I know who both happen to know and have been in a series or two and on stage with the guy who's the star of the adverts, suddenly we're the guys in the advert. So I don't think it was a fair fight particularly, but hey, I'll act as life, you take any advantage you've got.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry everyone else had a wasted journey, including the policeman from The Bill, who probably thought, "Well, I've got this in the bag. I've got the uniform."
Cool. Come on, guys! It's Toby Haydo. I think Kirby, once he's recovered from his fanboyness, is eager to ask you loads of questions, like he was with Louise Jameson at the weekend.
Well, you sprung another person on that I wasn't ready for.
Oh, for goodness' sake!
Well, I have questions for Toby.
Go on in, Mary.
Toby, I am a huge fan of the books that you and Rob Sherman have been putting out, Running Through Corridors. And I even had Rob autograph the first and second editions that have come out. But I want to know, when is Volume 3 coming out?
Yes, I when you started... and mentioned the book, I sort of anticipated what your question might be. you're not the only person to ask it. Well, it seems mad that to say this, because we did it during the course of the year and we wrote it up and we went back and forth. But it's actually the editing process is worse than the actual writing, because the writing of it was just a sort of fun exercise of yo-yoing back and forth. But of course we didn't edit as we went along, and sometimes, one of us would write our entry without the other person reading it. And so occasionally there's repetition and all of that sort of thing. So the editing of it is quite a process. And also we're sort of a bit insistent, because of various reasons with the first volume, that the edit has to be, very, very properly collaborated between the both of us. So it sort of counts on both of us being around, and I had a bit of free time when Rob was ridiculously busy, and then Rob had a bit of free time when I was ridiculously busy. So Lars, bless him, who's very patient, the editor, occasionally sends out a plaintive email going, is there any chance we could do a bit? And we go, yes, and I'll do a copy edit on, I think I've done seasons 18 and 19. I've got in a form as presentable as I would like them to be, and then we go quiet, and then suddenly it's 7 months later. So all I can say is watch this space, but it will come, I promise. And I would quite like it out there, because I can't even remember what I said about, that's the terrible thing is now, because so much time has passed, your opinions sort of change, and I'm reminded sometimes when I think of the 70s books, and I go, oh, I was quite mean about them. Was I quite mean about the Three Doctors? I think it's great now. So it's very much a time capsule of that's what we thought on that particular day. It's not supposed to be a definitive sort of account, and the external stimuli are very important to it, as are sort of, my memories of this. I watched it when my granddad died, or I watched it when I'd had a bad week at school. So it's very much a sort of personal take rather than a sort of guidebook.
Well, yeah, you got married during Volume 2.
I did, and in fact, the gestation of the book lasted longer than the marriage, which I think is a sort of amusing and tragic at the same time. There we go. Yes, it's a little time capsule of happiness. and a salutary lesson in the impermanence of everything. But there we are.
So is your podcast still going, Toby?
Yes, although I'm coming to the end of it. I had a concerted effort of getting one out every week before Christmas, and we had a lovely Christmas special with Maureen Beattie, who was in
name drop
in the Christmas special with Father Christmas in, but she's also the president of Equity, so that's why she was a very special guest. And I've probably got about 10, 15 interviews left in the bag. There's a couple I might still do with people who live around the corner from me or who I can grab fairly easily. But then I need to knock it on the head because I've got to finish this Quatermass book. I've got to, as has been already mentioned, do Running Through Corridors Volume 3, get that shipshape. I'm working on a film script with a friend of mine that we need to knock into shape. And I've got various writing projects on that I need to sort of knock into shape, and I can't. And the podcast, I used to sort of edit it when I was on the road doing comedy gigs, but I've made a concerted effort to stay at home a bit more and travel a bit less. So suddenly having something that can take up a 3-hour train journey is not a good use of my time. And so then I'd have to do it when I was at home at my desk. And when I'm at home at my desk, I should be writing something that earns me money rather than doesn't.
Now, before you came on, I was sort of alluding to the fact this particular video that I'm doing at the moment is going live on my own personal Facebook page. Something I wouldn't normally dream of doing simply because of the stigma of being a Doctor Who fan. Is that something you can relate to?
The stigma of being a Doctor Who fan?
Yes.
Yes, well, I mean, for years it was the love that dared not speak its name.
Indeed.
which amuses me now when many people of my age in my profession are suddenly the biggest Doctor Who fans in the world. And you go, well, I don't remember you being that when Mitch Benn was always one of the faithful. And Mitch Benn has a fabulous line where he says, I like Doctor Who when it was S-H-I-T. it was funny. And you know, yeah, it's all very well being a Doctor Who fan when Russell T Davies brings it back and it's a chart topper. You try being a Doctor Who fan on the 30th anniversary and all, you know, during Dimensions in Time or some difficult period when. But I don't think there's much of the usual idiot media sort of renter gobs might. Pass us off as social inadequates or all sorts of other things, but they do that about any sort of group. They dismiss any group en masse because it gets them a soundbite and it sounds quite good. But actually, I think being Doctor Who a fan now is rather a trendy thing to be.
I always thought there was a certain amount of intellectualness attached to being a Doctor Who fan. Obviously, it doesn't work with me, but it certainly does with Mrs. Debbie Melrose, who's a bit of a smarty pants.
Well, there's lots of very clever. There's lots of very clever people with letters before and after their names, because Doctor Who. I can't speak for Debbie, but I think I certainly know lots of clever people who are inspired to be clever because of Doctor Who, and I think there's also a thing about it's in our genes as Doctor Who fans because it's got such a rich and long history that we don't go to it in a cursory nature. We sort of delve quite far back and read cast lists and learn facts and figures.
Well, Kirby does.
So it trains the brain.
It's making an osmosis thing for me, really, because my father was such a big fan. And then it was just part of my life before I realised it was part of my life. And I think a lot of people of my age, that's how it happened for them, the love of Who, I think, more than anything. And it has formed a lot of my choices and interests, definitely.
Of course, ever since it's been mentioned regularly on The Big Bang Theory, that's increased its profile.
Yes, that's probably helped quite a lot.
You think it's difficult being a Doctor Who fan? Try being a Doctor Who fan in America in the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh, and that's all right. Though way back then, it would have been difficult, yes.
I'm walking around conventions with this long scarf, and people are going, "What are you?"
Yeah, in the middle of the summer, Kirby. That's probably why they were probably looking at you a funny way.
Well, just last night, I saw on the latest episode of the mystery drama Vera, one of the policemen, when someone was waving something out the window, saying, "Well, this isn't working," and the policeman on the sidewalk yells up, "Well, maybe because you've got to reverse the polarity," and. That would make a big, you know...
Mary, are you sure it wasn't the pavement? I'm pretty sure we have pavements over here in Great Britain.
Well, we have sidewalks.
That's happening, so...
We're not doing this again.
Yes, we are.
We've got off time.
Matthew, you're very quiet. Matthew, what's going on? It's very unlike you to listen and not pipe up.
Oh, I'm enjoying just listening to it. As Toby says, me and him have chatted quite a bit on the Facebook group I run, the Quatermass Appreciation Society. But something I do want to ask Toby about is something completely random I spotted him in. There's a documentary from about 12, 13 years ago called Titanic, Birth of a Legend, which is about the construction of the ship. And you show up as an American journalist being toured around the ship right after it's been completed.
I watched that the other day, yes.
I want to watch it. Where is it? Where can I see it?
Well spotted. Now, that's funny that, gosh, I thought you were going to, because there is a documentary on YouTube about stand-up comedy that I stumbled across a couple of years ago that I turned up in, and I had no memory of being in it at all. So I thought you were going to mention that. No, so this Titanic Birth of Legend, it was originally called Building the Titanic, and it originally wasn't remotely documentary-like. It had a little bit of voiceover at the beginning and at the end, and it was a drama documentary, but the one that you saw has a load of voiceover. It's much more documentary than drama. Everyone ended up doing far less in it than they originally did. And I know there was one character, whose eyes the whole thing was seen through, and he ended up just being in one scene in the end. And I know he did loads of filming on it, so I felt very bad for him. So most of my lines were spoken over by evil narrator Charles Dance, but at least most of my pictures were still there. And I'd auditioned to do it, and this is the level of stuff one has to put up with as an actor in this business, is that I'd auditioned to play this journalist, which was quite a decent sized part originally, and I had a recall, because they think you've got so much time that you can just keep coming back and forth, and I had a recall because the exec hadn't been sure, because they film your original audition, and I came in and I did it again, and one of my lines, I think the only one that ended up in the show, was so this in your view makes the ship unsinkable, and I sort of hit unsinkable because I thought, well, that's an important word, and he's this executive sat there and no, he said, look, you're saying unsinkable, you know, everyone knows the Titanic's unsinkable now, but you know that wasn't such a buzzword then, so you know, that's right. And I said, so do you mean you'd just like me to say it with a bit less stress and unsinkable? He went, yes. And I went, well, I'll do it like that then. And then I did it like that. And I got the part, but it's just like, well, why don't you just ask me to do it slightly differently on the day? Or, you know, I don't have to sort of come in and prove that I can do that. So he annoyed me a bit. But then anyway, we had a rare thing is that we had a few auditions. We had, not auditions, we had rehearsals. You don't get for telly anymore. And, I was just looking at the script, because it was quite an international concern, Titanic, and it was all the characters in were sort of Irish or the English on the ship. I just said to the director, who was a lovely guy called William Lyons, I'd got slightly excited because I thought it was Bill Lyons who played guard on Denish in episode 3 of Enemy of the World, but it wasn't him, he's someone else who is a writer. And I just said to this guy, look, you've got all the sort of press and supporting characters, everyone's English. I said, I can do American, so would that give it a bit of an international, you know, feeling and flavour? Shall I do him as American? And he was quite chuffed by that suggestion and said, yeah, do it. And I just thought it was useful for me because it would be a bit of me doing American on screen, which is very handy. So I thought he might say no. If we'd wanted American, we'd have cast American, because that's sort of what happens these days. No act, they don't want you to act anymore. I did that, and then it wasn't on. It wasn't on for about a year, or about 15, 16 months, and I thought it sort of vanished, and then it finally appeared at sort of Christmas time. I'm quite often on telly at Christmas time. And as I say, I got sort of all excited, and then I watched it, and I appeared, and Charles Dance is talking and going, and in 1926, this happened, and I go, yeah, all right, come on, Charles Dance, shut up. And he does, so that when, to give me a chance to deliver one line, which is the one the executive producer hadn't liked my delivery of. That was that. But yeah, it's the makeup lady said, did I mind having a moustache? So it's a very rare occasion for me sporting the solo moustache, which is not as popular a thing as once it was.
No, the beards are certainly quite popular at the moment. I've got some stuff coming through on the live stream. Jeff Wardle says, moves very rigidly, said Mary Blitzlang Snigger. And then Magic is wanting out for a pee. No, he's just lying down by the door over there. Then Jeff Wardle says, it's laying, as in L-A-I-N-G. She's Scottish, apparently. Apparently you're Scottish, Mary.
Yes. Oh, well, a very good friend of mine is an actor called Robin Laing. And yes, he's L-A-I-N-G. Yes, Robin Laing, yes.
Robert McIntyre says, hi, guys.
Hi.
Yes. Hello. Jeff Waddle says, so is Kirby Bartlett Sloane. S-L-O-A-N. He's Scottish.
You've all been adopted. You're all Scottish.
I will have you know, Jeff Waddle, having been... excuse me, Kirby. Sloane, yes. Right? Yes. Anyway, as I was saying...
It comes from O'Slohan.
Thank you. I will say that I have been doing some research on Ancestry, and I've found a branch of my family that comes from Dunfermline in the 1600s, going back a little bit further than that, from the 1600s backwards. So there is Scottish in me. That's probably this ginger bit here. Still a bit of ginger there. And then Ality Butcher says, Kressel is, of course, the Scots word for very keen on audio drama, because Matthew is Scottish. And Alan T. Butcher says, Ben's real name is Nevis because he's Scottish. Laurie Nick says, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I really appreciate Toby's Doctor Who in memoriam reels. Yes, Toby's Doctor Who in memoriam reels. I think
Debbie
that's what
you... Downer. Never heard that one.
Not to be Debbie Downer.
I believe that's from a Saturday Night Live, an early Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they like the in memoriam reels, because they take me all year.
What? All year? Good Lord.
Well, I sort of update them as I go along, so I don't have to just revel in death between Christmas and New Year. Good. I don't know if enjoy is the word, but I'm glad people sort of dip in and have a look.
Well, I certainly enjoy them, and I quite like all in memoriam reels, apart from the one that was posted on Facebook about a week before the end of the year, as if we'd had all the celebrity deaths of the year, and then June Whitfield passed away. I was quite angry about
that.
Let's wait till the end of the year first.
Yes. I managed to get June in on in mine, because I sort of edit it right up until I bung it up on New Year's Eve. What I don't like is there's usually three people who go, and this has happened ever since I first done them, so it crosses haters of all jurisdictions, who go, oh, yeah, they died the same year that the series did. And you just go, do you know what? There's loads of places on the internet where you can say you don't like the current series of Doctor Who. If you do it on a really nicely put together and thoughtful and well-meant in memoriam video, you're a bit of a dick.
Here.
Right, so while we're at it, I'd like to introduce the daddy of the show, who's just joined us on Skype, Mr. Paul Wilson.
Yay! Yay. good Hello. Evening, everyone. How are you?
Good evening. Good, you?
I'm a bit chilly, actually. I haven't been out in my office for for a week, and the heating's been off, so it was like walking into an ice box. So I'm breathing steam and shivering, but I'll be all right. I've got the heating on now, so hopefully it'll warm up soon.
So, Paul, have you had the opportunity to meet Toby Haydock during your long sort of Doctor Who fandomness?
Oh, Toby, yeah, many times.
Well, he's there.
Hi, Toby, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, surviving. Coping.
Well, that's the best we can do.
That's all we can really hope for, isn't it?
We can ask for 2019, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Anything else is a bonus. Yeah.
Exactly.
So how do you feel, Paul, while you're there? Well, this is our 400th show. It's all your fault. You've spawned 400 magnificent examples of audio stuff.
I feel like it's an award ceremony. So I'd like to thank my children. I'd thank my wife. I'd like to thank God. You know, that's the sort of thing they do, isn't it? No, it's good. It's great. I'm really, really happy for you guys. You've done really well. I listen in on occasion. Can't say I listen in all the time.
Hopefully on good occasion.
only when I'm on it. I don't care about anyone
else. So not that often, then.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. And I think the whole sort of podcasting community is amazing. And it's just spawned some really creative and interesting things and some really interesting conversations. Also, some regrettable conversations as well.
Nothing from me, I hasten to add.
Sorry?
Nothing from me, I hasten to add.
Probably not. It's funny when you asked me the other day about this, and I was just thinking back over my Doctor Who career, if you call it that, and some of the things that I've said in the past, and some of the things that it's interesting the way that over the years opinions and things have changed, and I just sort of caught the end of the conversation that you were just having, and I was just thinking about fandom and the one thing that seems to have stayed the same even before sort of podcasting, even back, you know, sort of classic series wise, seems the only way you can be a real Doctor Who fan is if you hate the show, isn't it?
Not over here, no, not in our show, maybe in all the other shows, not in ours, definitely not.
No, it's fantastic, and I'm glad you guys are still, you know, cracking on and doing really well, so congratulations, really.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Daddy.
Sounds like a bad porno, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's something weird going on there. But yeah, it's interesting to note that the DWO WhoCast, our daddies, now have less episodes online than we do, which is quite...
Fewer.
All right, thank you, Fewer. Kirby.
Yes.
Right, Kirby, I've got an appropriate sound effect for you coming up. Where is it? Here we go. Yeah. Actually, I did prepare a special jingle for today.
Is that tattoo?
Is it tattoo? It is indeed. Yeah. That deserves one of these.
So I know my schoolgirls.
You do. Yes, but we will talk briefly. I know certain people, we don't really want to harp about the series too much, but we haven't actually spoken to you, Paul, since the last series ended. How did you think, on the whole, it was?
I actually really enjoyed it. I know that a lot of people didn't, but I really enjoyed it. I was very excited about the first time I've been excited about Doctor Who for quite a while, to be honest. I have to say, I don't think there were any real stinkers, to be honest.
Not even the Dalek? Not the Dalek, when the spider one was a bit of a... Well, we felt that was a bit of a duffer.
It wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't really, really bad. And the same for the Dalek episode.
That was
great.
For
the first time in a long time, we had a Dalek episode that was quite good.
Yeah, we love that.
I was pleasantly surprised through the whole thing. I think the cast was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed everyone in the cast. I was worried that we'd have a situation where they wouldn't know what to do with one or two people, but they seem to give everyone a story, and there was some progression there, and yeah, it was good. And the doctor was fantastic. She was amazing. I have absolutely no complaints about it whatsoever. And it was nice to just sit down and just enjoy it. And stepping away from fandom, being away from fandom for so long, means that I don't have to deal with the crazies out there. I know this. I mean, I've caught little bits and pieces, but a lot of it seemed to be very superficial complaints. I saw complaints about people not liking her facial expressions.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or the
slightly
or
petty.
The way that she used her sonic screwdriver. Oh, get a life! Good God! You know, that's. I just think, God, surely you've got better things to do than pick on that. If that's all you've got to pick on, then you're simply picking on it for either because you want to pick on something, or because you're still cheesed off because there's a woman as the doctor. But I thought it was great. So, you know, I'm going to give it two big thumbs up from me.
Excellent. What do you think of it, Toby?
I mean, the first thing I'd say in response to what Paul said is I think the withdrawing from worrying about other people's opinions is so much healthier when it comes to your enjoyment of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I've tried to do that as well. And I'm not saying my opinion is more important than anybody's, but for the sake of one's own sanity, be happy in your own enjoyment or lack thereof, and don't worry about anybody else's, because I've wasted so much time, you know, in my head trying to right wrongs, as it were, and I've felt much healthier in about the past 2 years, where I've sort of largely ignored forums and things like that, because that way madness lies, and it's a much healthier way of enjoying the show. I do also think it's very interesting, is that isn't it funny how we enjoy Doctor Who much more in retrospect, which is why I'm always wary of talking about the latest Doctor Who, because some Doctor Whos I was furious with about 7 or 8 years ago, because as a Doctor Who fan, one spends an inordinately unhealthy amount of time being furious with how Doctor Who is now. I've looked back on and gone, God, I really enjoyed that episode. That was amazing. Why was I so furious with it at the time?
it's funny you should say that, Toby. I remember absolutely hating Love and Monsters, and I went back and had a look at it, and I just completely switched off. And just thought, and just watched it, and I thought, you know, this is not a bad episode. But I remember being so.
Yeah,
furious.
You have to have a critical eye, don't you? That's the thing.
I remember just nearly having a conniption about the whole thing.
I love Love and Monsters, but I can understand why people didn't and still don't, because it's an atypical sort of episode. But that's, I rather liked it. There's a couple of bits at the end that I don't like, that I think sadly mar what otherwise I think is brilliant. But what did I like? I mean, I think when the show came back this year, I thought it had approached the packaging of itself very sensibly. You know, you had the female doctor that, I have to say, was something I would, if you'd asked me 5 or 6 years ago, I'd have been, no, Doctor Who's a man, and blah, blah, blah. I'd actually like the kiss when Paul McGann kissed Daphne Ashbrook, and I remember it was Doctor Who was going to kiss. It was like, well, that's going to spoil Doctor Who. It's Doctor Who, and
it's
fine.
Dead to me. I'm never watching again.
And I found myself, you know, as somebody that anticipated a female Doctor Who will not, when it was announced, I just went, oh. I thought it was a very canny producer's move to sort of because it's been back so long now, keeping the novelty alive and keeping it. And it's a show that if it even slightly dips in terms of public perception, that's seen as a massive fall from grace, because it's such a big show and the papers love to sniff after that, and sometimes they can create their own momentum of the show going out of fashion. So I thought they made a number of very sensible moves to get a new musician, not because of no disrespect to Murray Gold, but it's just sometimes a bit of fresh blood, just can make the show feel fresh and interesting. And I thought, and I think having very straight and not doing the timey-wimey thing and having straightforward linear plots, I thought it felt like enough of a new show to get people talking. I wasn't on board, however, with some of the public conversation about, well, if it hadn't been a woman Doctor Who, Well, it would absolutely had to be this time around. And loads of people, and I find because people sort of come and talk to me at shows and things like that, or you just end up in conversations. And, you know, I had certain people saying to me, well, it would have been a disgrace if it wasn't a woman this time around. And I'd say, it would have been a disgrace. They go, yeah, it was about time, wasn't it? I go, well, up until very recently, we didn't know that Time Lords could swap gender. So no, I don't want to write off the whole past history of Doctor Who as being this sort of misogynistic hellhole, and that it's only modern woke Doctor Who is made by liberals and everybody in the first past was some sort of dinosaur, because that's massively incorrect. And there is a little bit of, I do occasionally end up, you know, viewing online sort of, you know, the way that the conversation goes, and suddenly, and I think there was an article in The Guardian recently, you know, sort of saying, oh, Doctor Who, you know, it's great that Doctor Who's doing stories with a social conscience now, because it was about time, because in 1977 they had a story where John Bennett played a Chinese person, and so Doctor Who's always been a bit racist. And you go, no, it hasn't, and certainly don't. And you know, Doctor Who in the 70s was a bit backward. Barry Letts was one of the most liberal and forward-thinking people to ever go through the corridor of the BBC. And at the time that he was working in the BBC, all the stuff that he was doing was extraordinarily forward-thinking and liberal. And it's all very well for us to look back now within the social mores and the progress that has been made to get us to where we are. I know there's still much to do in 2019, but that doesn't mean that the people that went before us that helped us get to where we are now can be rather loftily dismissed because we know better than they do. And I don't like the tone of those conversations, much as I also am sort of amused by the people that go, well, because Doctor Who has slightly changed, it means it's not the program that it once was, and I must never watch it. But you know, there, and for a show that, and I, you know, I'll hold my hands up like this, for a show that thrives on change. The minute something happens that's a change that discombobulates me slightly, I don't react to it very well. My initial thought is one to go, hang on, that's not what Doctor Who is. Whereas, of course, Doctor Who has always sort of regenerated itself. Yes. So that's a long way of sort of going, you know, there were certain things that I perhaps thought in advance that I wouldn't have done that actually turned out not to be a big deal at all. As I say, I thought the repackaging of it was fine. I think as soon as Jodie Whittaker came on screen, there was nothing about her that said, well, she shouldn't be playing Doctor Who. And I'm sort of the same as everybody else. I love that. I do think that, you know, Doctor Who's always done shows that comment on social issues. I think there's just, it's rarely come forward and said, and this is what we're doing now. So I think that was just a new story, because new stories now are, you know, it's a good story to say, oh, these social justice warriors are ruining our program. Well, tell that to the Monster of Peladon or, you know, any number of stories, or the Dali. I mean, the second story was about the horrors of nuclear war. Well, you know, Jane, I'm sure the Daily Mail wouldn't, if a story like the Daleks had been on, they'd been going, oh, it's peaceniks writing on, ruining the show with a liberal agenda. So I think all of that stuff, fine. I could have done with a bit more rigorousness in the storytelling. I did think, I love all the regulars, and I do think occasionally one or other of them got a little bit lost. I'd like to see Yaz do a bit more, because I think she's really good. But that's, you know, that's all bred from the practicalities. It's certainly got people talking and interested and taking the show in a new direction that hopefully will ensure its long-term future. I'm disappointed it's not on this year, but no. I get why perhaps it... I'd rather there was a year gap and the show was good than that people were forced to do something and be chasing their tail and produce something that nobody was happy with. So, you know, I've got to learn to be patient, even though it's my nature, because I'm a Doctor Who fan to go, but I want to watch Doctor Who.
There's plenty of Big Finish, Toby.
That was a long answer. There's always Big Finish, indeed. And the Blu-ray range of remastered episodes with lots of new extras.
Are you doing the certain extras on those discs, Toby? Maybe a few.
It's eminently possible.
Oh, is it? It's eminently possible. Okay.
For some, tediously predictable that that might be the case. Yeah. Yes.
Just to for the layman, Toby is well known for his video extras on Doctor Who DVDs from the classical era, and also for moderating the commentaries.
The best moderator.
Yes. Because he knows more than the people are actually in the show. They're talking about their sort of experiences and memories from the show. Toby is able to correct some of their inconsistencies, shall we say?
Well, you also keep things on course. Some of the older commentaries, they'll just go off randomly.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tricky thing, I have to say, because I have some sympathy with people who just go, but I like to hear Fraser Hines bantering and doing his jokes. And, you know, you shouldn't have somebody there who's going, but now, this was in July 1967, what do you remember, you know. And some people just don't want their commentary tracks to be informative. They want it to be, a jolly with the regulars whose company and anecdotes they enjoy, and that because of the nature of memory, it's never going to be an entirely accurate thing, and that's what the production text is for, and you should just let the commentary participants sort of jolly along. I always found those commentaries quite frustrating, because I remember one, I think this one on Planet of Spiders, where they spend about 5 minutes trying to discuss between them whether Gareth Hunt is Gareth Thomas, and they can't remember the name of either of them. And you're going, if the moderator was there, they'd just go, ah, no, you mean that. Anyway, let's get on with it. So that's my preference, and I try and do what I think I would like to listen to where I am paying punter. And that's all I can do. So, yeah, if you like it, I'm very pleased about that.
So anyway, stuff that's come through on the live feed. We've got Laurie Nick saying, I've done that one. Sorry, Jeff Wadler says, Pearson is Scottish, P-E-A-R-S-O-N, from Fife. Well, fortunately, Jeff, it was the Mason branch of my hereditary, which was from Fife, or Dunfermline, to be precise. Then Jeff Wadler says, Haydock is Scottish, or Hadoki, according to certain other podcasts. from the well-known Scottish phrase, did you plant Scottish trees last year? How did they do? Oh, not very well, but I had oak the year before, and they were braw.
Ouch, Jeff.
God, that took some doing, Jeff.
Yeah, it's very difficult to read as well. Lillian Robbins said, wasn't Toby in Adventures in Space and Time as a bartender? No, he was in the Adventures of Space and Time as a barman. Lillian,
I was a racist barman.
A racist barman
who learned not to be racist through the magic of Doctor Who. I think that was the sort of subtext.
Yes. Very racist was Waris Hussein. Yes.
Yes, I refused to serve Waris Hussein until Verity Lambert showed what a forthright producer she was by insisting that we get served, that they get served. I think that was the subtext there. But yes, it was jolly. I was actually involved in something from the 50th anniversary, and yes. I was very pleased about that.
Was that a scene, a made-up scene, or was it something that actually did happen, do you reckon?
Is that what, sorry?
Was that a made-up scene, the barman scene, or was that something that did happen?
I think so. I don't think the BBC records are quite so fastidious as to archive the occurrences.
A bit of a filler scene, then, but well worth it. It shone above all other scenes in the whole show, for obvious reasons. Now, Lillian Robbins says, I'm American, give me a break.
Yes, over here we say bartender.
I know, but it's wrong. It's barman.
Oh, fuck no.
What? What?
No more wrong than aluminum.
Anyway, back to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. What I wanted to ask some of you guys is, what's your the first memory of the last 400 episodes that springs to mind that you think of when you think of this show? Kirby, starting with you, this will be interesting.
My what?
The memory that springs to mind when you think about the 20 megabyte podcast, a funny moment or a redeeming memory you have of the show.
When you sprung Louise Davidson on us unexpectedly.
That was good, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. And so did she.
Yeah.
Mary, what about you?
Wow, I have to go on before I was on, even.
when you used to have a wonderful co-presenter called Ben. And I just remember driving home from work one afternoon and was listening to this on my iPod, and Ben got into a description of something. I can't even remember what it is anymore, but his way with words was so wonderful, and his description was so hilarious that I actually had to pull over into a parking lot to stop laughing.
Do you mean a car park, Mary? Well,
parking lot. Yeah, so that is what endeared me forever to this podcast.
Okay, Matthew, go on.
Probably getting trounced by Toby Haydock when you had him on along with me and Kirby to beta test your Doctor Who quiz book.
Oh, yes. Do you remember my Doctor Who quiz book, Toby? It was good, wasn't it? It was called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book. Plug, plug, plug. It's available on Amazon.
Plug, plug, plug. Eh?
Yeah, well, that was going to be my moment as well.
Sorry, Toby.
Well, that's okay. I think it might be the peak of my achievements. Because I have to confess, I'm waiting to be caught out, really. I've never considered myself a sometimes people say, I've never considered myself an expert on Doctor Who. It's other people that have cast me in that role. So if somebody wants to say, he doesn't know as much as you think he knows, I don't claim to know anything. I just, I think because I can walk in a straight line and talk at the same time, I occasionally get jobs involved with Doctor Who. But I claim no expertise. So I was quite pleased if I did a Jeopardy in Canada for a Doctor Who convention in Canada, and I'd never seen Jeopardy before and was terrified of my first visit to Canada at a convention being shown up and losing, and I played against some knowledgeable Canadian fans and Rob Shearman, but fortunately the questions fell my way and I was able to emerge with my dignity intact, but it's always a bit of a worry.
Well, a couple spring to mind, but before I ask Debbie, a couple spring to mind for me. One is Andy Nunney falling asleep during the Conquer Sturbus live link. audibly snoring, and when asked the question, "Are you asleep, Andy?" Said, no, wide awake. That was absolutely hilarious. Not very funny at the time, but when I listened to it back, it was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, it was legendary. Yeah.
And
that was
the other one, because we were supposed to be name dropping on this episode, is when I interviewed Sylvester McCoy most recently at the defunct Island Con. That was great fun, because he was very eloquent about his descriptions of the new series of Doctor Who. Debbie, what about you?
Well, I don't really have anything majorly
to stand out.
It's just the after effect of joining the podcast. It's expanded everything. I've made some great friends. I've been off and done things that I probably wouldn't have thought about doing, you know, like going up to the Doctor Who Festival when you gave me that opportunity. And being at IslandCon, it's such a shame that it's now a defunct convention, because that could have been so much more than, you know, just one episode, shall we say. But I think main highlight for me was the 300th episode, when we all got very tiddly, sat in your front room, and there were so many of us on, and it was getting really difficult just to field who was on and who was speaking.
You have to learn from that.
It was such a fun moment of with your family.
Oh, we had Andrew Cartmel on as well, didn't we, that time? That was quite good.
Yeah, we had so many people. We had Jason Truong was on, and, you know, and Billy was on. It was so many of us all just talking at once, and it got to the point where you just went, sod it, and we just all carried on.
Yeah, I often do that. Jeff Waddle says, my first memory is 10 or 11, recorded when you were in a car waiting for the ferry, and I went back and listened to the ones I'd missed, and I haven't missed one since, because I'm not right in the head. Cheers, Jeff.
I remember all the times you used to have to, like, pause because you'd have to go pick up Debbie and take her to another appointment.
Yes, I had to entrust my podcast to some people, shall we say.
Yes.
I remember the times. I remember the times you and I did the podcast where you were in a a car park.
Yeah, that was a regular occurrence in Shanklin while Alicia was doing some stage stuff many years ago. Yeah, it's amazing how that worked, actually, to be fair.
We've recorded on the way back before, haven't we? We've been sat in a car doing a recording.
I've done a recording driving from Cowes to Shanklin with Alicia in the car. I did one up in Southport when we stayed at an awful Pontins. That was
Didn't you do
awful.
One on the ferry once?
Yeah, wasn't that with you, Debbie, on the way back from the doctor?
Yeah, we decided to do feedback for the festival, didn't we? We sat on the ferry and used the hour to talk about the festival with Debbie and Izzy next to us.
Another fun memory for me is when we had Daphne Hashbrook on twice, and the second time she did that little bit of acting for us so I could dub over the alternative ending to the movie where she says she can't go with the doctor because she's got to listen to the podcast. That was really good fun. And then to meet her at the Doctor Who celebration and give her the mug. That was also good fun as well. The live video has come to an end, just like to point out. So, and I'd like to point out also that Paul, he had a power failure, so that's why he dropped out, unfortunately, for that one.
Oh.
We were hoping that he was going to be able to come back on, but that didn't come to fruition. So, almost time to wrap up. I'd like to thank everybody that's been sort of kept with the show for the last 400 episodes, and you guys for putting up with me for almost as many episodes. It's been really good.
Wouldn't miss it, honestly.
Yeah,
it's been a blast. Except for when life gets in the way, it's great to try and get on as often as we can and get to talk to all you guys. It's been brilliant.
Yes, thank you very much. It has been fun. I don't know how much more I can take of it, but it has been.
You always say that.
We have to finish the journey. I am loving going through every single story.
Well, you admitted yourself you haven't actually done that, you naughty boy, have you? Because you've missed it. And Debbie Melrose certainly hasn't done that when she's dropped out. She hasn't been watching the episode she should have watched. Have you, Debbie?
I went back. I did. I promised. And I did. You checked on me for that. So
yeah, well, I can only trust what you tell me. What about you, Mary? Have you missed? Have you watched the episode you went on with?
I want to know, when does the journey end? Does it end?
It ends when it ends.
When the classic, or do we carry on from the classic?
Well, very sadly for myself, of course we have to carry on, because it's the journey. We have to carry on right through the end. But I will say that when we reach the what they call New Who, well, we won't be doing one episode per episode, one story per episode. We'd be doing two episodes, or two stories. So
okay.
Cause
that makes sense, because we did a, from the beginning of New Who, once already.
Mm.
I think it was like four series. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Did we?
Oh.
I don't remember that.
Remember doing that?
Yeah. I don't remember doing it either. But, we may have done it. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what we
did. That was around the time that I joined, because I came in when you guys were doing Vampires of Venice as part of the rewatch. Hmm. I think you guys got through the end of Series 5.
We must have done Vampires of Venice twice then, because I think that was like, because when me and Alicia started the podcast, we started it with the Weeping Angel story. So it would have been around that time anyway, so we must have done it a second time. So it'll be a third time when we do it eventually again. But yeah, I do intend to get to the end of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems such a long way off.
Yeah, starting with episode 94, we did a New Who journey. straight in order through... Looks like Human Nature, Family of Blood. And then... No, we can't.
I was on for those. I was on for those. I seem to recall.
You were?
No, all the way through Waters of Mars. No, and then continuing. Yeah, we did a mini journey.
Oh, does that mean we don't have to do them again, Kirby?
No.
Oh, well, there you go, then. Okay. Well, anyway,
I have an extensive.
Yes, we'll talk about that another time, Kirby. Thank you very much about your extensive whatever. That's also what she said. Yeah.
Which shall remain unnamed.
Indeed. So, right then, next week we'll be finally getting round to reviewing Invasion of Time. At the end of this episode of the show will be the recording that myself, Robert, and Kirby did with the interview with Louise Jameson, because she wasn't available to come on tonight, unfortunately. But she very kindly gave us half an hour of her time on Sunday. Could have been longer, actually, but I had stuff to do.
Hello.
Hello, Louise.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for joining me on Saturday morning. Kirby's with us. He's in, where are you, Kirby?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. And what time is it in Atlanta, Georgia?
Wow.
5:30 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you were here in Atlanta last year.
Yes, I was, indeed. Absolutely. I'm just going to take you upstairs. There's slightly better reception up there.
Okay.
Okay, it's like they've her and Robert have got the same issues regarding reception.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
Hello, better.
I think you can hear us properly then. Yes, it was quite a long way to do a call from Atlanta to the greatest of Britain. Waiting, of course, for Robert, who's in Australia. It's not the reasons why he's got incredibly poor connection. I just don't think he's used his internet for a really long time, with the sounds of things. I think he's still using internet.
Oh, really?
Like he's using an internet connection from about 8 years ago, which is almost as long as it's been since you were last on the show.
He's using a tin can and a piece of wire.
Yep, exactly. I wouldn't put it past him. So, right, I might as well crack on in this unconventional way of doing an interview. Thank you for joining us, as I said before. Happy New Year and all that
it's
stuff.
It's a real pleasure.
It's still quite busy doing lots and lots of conventions around the world?
Yes, I've got maybe one in Wyoming coming up, one in New York, I think, next year. I've just slightly taken a back seat because I was rather ill over Christmas and it frightened me. So I've just turned down a few acting jobs in order to concentrate on writing and maybe directing. And I'm not ruling out acting, but I want to do something that's on the South Bank in London so that I can commute it. Yep. I'm not touring or going away unless the part is extraordinary. I think I'm going to sit at home this year much more than I did last year.
So are you better now?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I think I never went. I do everything alternative and homeopathic.
Yeah.
So I never got it diagnosed, but I think it was a form of pneumonia. And I'm never ill.
Yeah.
I'm never, ever ill. So it really, whoa, what's happening? I didn't like it at all. So I think it was just a little wake-up call to slow down a bit, because everything was back-to-back last year.
Yeah.
Sounds
a bit like my summer, because I'm a wedding photographer, and between March and October, it is really, really busy, because I've got two jobs.
Chock-a-block.
But enough about me.
Yeah.
So, right, we're actually going to be reviewing, not on this bit, don't worry, we're not going to sit down talking non-stop about Invasion of Time, but we are going to be reviewing that on the celebratory show. So we're going to see if you can remember anything about that particular story, apart from the very weird thing is you went through the whole story till episode 6, and suddenly... within a click of a finger, you had a romantic connection. Not you personally, obviously, Leela, had a romantic connection.
Well, the lovely Graham Williams, who, you know, as you know, took over from Philip Hinchcliffe, really, really wanted me to stay, rather flatteringly.
Yeah.
And right up until the night before we recorded that very last scene, my very last day, he came down onto the floor and he stood beside me and he just very quietly said in my ear, you know, we can change that last scene, we can rewrite overnight, you can just run into the TARDIS and press a button, please stay with us. I mean, it was very, very sweet of him, but I'd already accepted this job down in Bristol to play Portia in The Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare, you know, being a really main love of mine, and it's no secret that Tom and I weren't getting on brilliantly. So I think the story was written thinking I would change my mind,
yeah,
which is why I didn't get this sort of enormous send-off.
Yeah, it was just sort of... I didn't see that coming, so when we were watching it, there's just a hold of the hand.
Nobody did, and I put that hold of the hand in. That
did you?
Wasn't in the script.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't,
yeah,
it wouldn't
so
have worked at all
you know,
without
there
that.
There was nothing to intimate a romance, and it's also slightly the sign of the times. You know, how do you get rid of a woman, you make her fall in love.
Yeah.
And you know the line, what do we do now, doctor? Have you ever heard a woman in crisis say, what do we do now? I mean,
yeah,
you jump to
not now, you don't.
But yeah, even then, what do we do now? It's not, it just doesn't happen. It was just, you know, a male writer's idea of of a woman's function.
Yeah.
Within a drama. But, I mean, we call them the "what do we do now" part.
I think the women in this particular story were quite empowered. Actually, they were, you know, at the forefront of the story, quite unusually. Apart from the scene in which Leela says, "What do you do now, Botox?" Because she was managing perfectly well until she bumped back into the Doctor during the story. So,
yes.
So that was quite huge. The other unusual part of the story is it appeared to be two stories within one. There was the story with the weird tin foil creatures, and then suddenly it stopped, and then it was Santarans, which is unusual.
Yeah,
in
I
itself.
Think it was probably. I think it was a slightly cobbled thing, wasn't it? I mean, I really don't know what was going on backstage then at the time. And in a way, I had no idea that I had the right to know, like you do now. You know, if there's a problem, you go to a producer. But I was, you know, in quotes, a good girl then. You know, I just did as I was told, stood where I was told, tried to please the director, tried to put my own spin on it. But didn't really feel, it wasn't really till Tanko that I felt, you know, which was, what, 4 or 5 years later that I
Was it that long later? I thought it was straight into it. Shows how my memory 81. Goes.
81. So I finished in 77, finished Doctor Who.
That's right.
81, I started filming Tanko.
So did you have any TV work before Doctor Who?
Yes, my very first job was Sided with Rosie. I had 4 lines in that. I did a 1 line in the Marty Feldman show. I had a little running character in Tom Brown's School Days, a maid. And I was the reason that Tom got sent away to school.
Or Tom Baker.
I'm only Tom joking. Brown's School Days. Oh, right. Pack him off to boarding school. And also, I did Emmerdale Farm. I was the first person to get murdered in a soap.
Good
that
Lord.
Claim to fame. That's so all that came before.
Proper claim to fame, that is. They're came all getting before. Murdered these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's everything, isn't it? It's full of it.
Excuse the noise. My daughter is inviting in guests.
I have a friend. Oh, is she?
Yes. Hello.
Hello, daughter.
I have a friend.
Yes. Off you go. Off you all go. Right, thank
bye.
You. Goodbye. Yes, thank you. Timing. Yes, thank you. Goodbye. Yes. No, give us half an hour. Sorry, they want the bandwidth, so they'll have to wait.
Adam,
yes, Kirby.
Robert is asking to be added in. It's not reacting when he presses join call.
Okay, I've tried that. I'll try it again. It says he's on here.
I am in.
Hey, hello, Robert.
Hey, hello.
Can you hear me?
Just about.
Hello. Oh, just about. Sorry. I don't know.
You're sounding a bit like K9.
So yes.
K9 with laryngitis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Robert, Louise, when we did the 100th show all those years ago, Robert wasn't very well, so he was unable to join us for that, so we thought we'd try and make up for it today. But now his internet's not very well. Nope, didn't get that.
That's 7 years ago.
How long? 7, was it?
Can't quite.
You said it was 7. I can translate. It was 7 years
yes,
ago,
I think
he said.
You might have to.
So, right.
How long ago?
7, apparently. 7 years ago. It's taken 7 years to do another 300 shows.
Wow. That's impressive.
Oh, thank you very much. Was that just Robert? Okay, fair enough.
There are not a whole lot of Doctor Who podcasts which have gone on for 400 episodes.
That's true. That's true.
I think Big Finish might rival you, but that's about it.
I was gonna...
Maybe the Doctor Who magazine.
99, wasn't it?
No. Yeah, the Doctor Who magazine's been out for a while. There's a couple of podcasts that have been around longer than us and have done more episodes. Not in Britain, though. There's not a lot of British podcasts that have done as many, which is good. Because I've ding-dong come up on me. I think we'll leave that. So I was going to take a picture of the when I met you at the Doctor Who celebration, because there's no chance you're ever going to remember that. And Kirby was going to talk about when he met you. Where did you meet Louise, Kirby?
Just last year here in Atlanta, you may remember me because I put feathers around my eyes and was carrying around a lobster painted green that was supposed to be the nucleus of
fire. Oh, yes. Yes, I remember.
You could you? I mean, it was probably one of the more original cosplay setups and probably the one that was almost like a cosplay that was made by a Blue Peter presenter. Didn't mean that in a bad way, Kirby.
Or a cookery program.
Yeah. So now you did some allude to the fact that when you left the show, you and Tom weren't getting on particularly well. But I have a good notion that that's ended now, and you're doing big finish together.
Oh yeah, we're really good friends. So fond of him, and he's apologised very publicly and rather movingly. And you know, it's all that absolute history. I don't want to dirt mouth him in any way, shape or form. I think he's been rather humbled by the dedication of the fandom and by the fact that we work together so incredibly well now.
Because he did a review video of his era of Doctor Who probably about 5 years afterwards, and when he was going through the episodes that you were in, he was very complimentary then about your standard of acting.
I don't think we ever faltered on that, you know, whatever friction there was. We always had enormous respect for each other's work. I mean, I think he's a statesman as far as the Doctors are concerned, isn't he? A lot of people claim him as their favourite still, even with all the, you know, brilliant new ones. So I think he'll always wear that crown.
So was there a particular reason you wanted to leave the show at the time?
Well, like I said, I'd been offered Portia in Merchant of Venice. Theatre and Shakespeare particularly have always been my first love. And, you know, there was friction in the rehearsal room, so it just seemed right to move on.
Well, I've seen some runners from bits of backstage video from... What was that one that was done with just CSO, Kirby?
Underworld?
Underworld, yeah, that's the one. And there seems to be quite a lot of banter going on between the cast in that one. You wouldn't have
a lot of what
banter,
sorry?
You know, a lot of sort of friendly banter and comedy going on. The Tom Baker talking about all the stuff that was going on in the sort of bar in between scenes and stuff like that. And you wouldn't have.
It was a very difficult one to do that, and probably my least favourite, maybe along with
The Quest is the Quest.
Oh, Lighthouse one. The names escape me.
Oh, yeah, the Horror Fang Rock.
Horror Fang Rock, thank you very much.
Oh, I like that one.
Yes, I know loads of the fans absolutely adore it. But I think a lot of money had gone on Talons of Wang Chiang, which I thought was a brilliant story.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Holmes
yes.
being the best writer of the time, of that era, in my opinion. So I think Underworld suffered rather from lack of budget, and we had this... You know, green screen and.
I don't think so.
It was great. It was a really good story. Innovative in some ways.
I don't think, because when I rewatched it when it came out on DVD, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It actually looked quite good.
So well, I haven't watched it for a very long time, so I'm not talking with any authority. So.
Well, there's no prawns in it, but it's a very, very, very good... and it's all about theatre, that story, because of, obviously, the issues I had with the invisible scenery, which the actors couldn't see. The acting standard was sort of lifted a level, and, of course, the storytelling-wise, it was an exceptionally good story that way. And I've heard, Louise, that your favourite story is Sunmakers.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Pure Marxist philosophy, isn't it?
You know, it's not out of date now, is it, that story?
It's not what?
Not out of date.
No.
No. No.
Tax never is.
Especially at the moment.
No.
And I got to, you know, I got to drive the action for a couple of episodes as well.
Yeah.
Within the writing, again, it's another Robert Holmes story, isn't it? And it was his two fingers to the BBC because he thought it was going to be his last ever script for the Beeb, and I think it turned out not to be, but
no, it didn't.
It was certainly the last one he did for me.
Yeah. So, probably more iconic companion of Tom Baker's, at least, and it's lovely to know that you're working together again on Big Finish, because there's a lot of Big Finish fans that listen to the show. Robert is one of those, aren't you, Robert?
Definitely, yep.
And have you enjoyed?
I love the audience.
Have you enjoyed the Leela stories in Big Finish?
Oh, I love it, and I love obviously some writers.
You directed one, didn't you, as well?
I wrote one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
they asked me if I would direct it, but I wasn't comfortable with the idea of directing Tom. we have such an incredibly good working relationship now. I would hate to do anything that might slightly rock the boat. So I declined directing it, but I did really, really enjoy I co-wrote with Nigel Fairs a story about childhood, you know, those imaginary childhood friends.
Yeah.
I suddenly thought, what if they're real? What happens when the person just lets them go? What happens to all these little imaginary friends? Where do they go? Who do they latch on to? Do they know each other? And that was the inspiration for writing the story.
Well, that sounds really, really good.
I'll have to look into that one.
Certainly have got a lot of Big Finish things to catch up on. We're currently doing the classic series on TV, so there's so much Doctor Who to delve into.
Isn't there? I mean, there's years and years of it all over the place. I'm in the middle of writing one, actually, for Big Finish, where I'm not supposed to say, but I guess it's all
right. Exclusive.
Where Doctor Who meets Marie Curie. Which has been... It's quite a challenge writing the history ones because you have to stick to a timeline. You can't really alter the facts. You have to find a period within the person's life which is quiet, not many facts known about, so you can slip in the Doctor and the Companion. They don't like to introduce monsters or time travel within the story. So, you know, there are certain rules attached to doing a historical one.
Yes.
And so it becomes very challenging. You can't just let your imagination...
You have a set amount of cast too, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Mm. You have to fit it into this box. I mean, I've taken some liberties with it. And also there's budgetary concerns because when Marie Curie did travel, she had one or two daughters with her quite a lot of the time, so... I've had to sort of elbow them out of the story in order for Doctor and Leela to come in with some kind of strength and capacity and ability to drive the storyline.
Has Tom ever thought about doing some writing? It'd be quite interesting to consider.
He's written a book, hasn't he? He's written some books.
Scratchman. But I know Kid the Boy Who Kicked Pigs.
Yes, that's it. Which was turned into a piece of theatre.
Oh, right.
Which I saw one of the previews of. So, I think I agree with you. I think he would make a fantastic writer. I'm not sure of scripts. I'm not sure that would be his forte, but I think of novels, especially historical novels, would be very much up his
street. I've got a funny feeling he has written a Doctor Who story.
Pardon?
I think I've got a funny feeling he has written a Doctor Who story. No, John Pertwee did.
It's Scratchman. You're thinking of Scratchman.
Is that a Doctor Who story then, is it?
James Goss has co-written it, kind of thing.
Oh, okay then.
Yes. So you'll be getting the delights of his voice reading it quite soon.
Oh, good. So it's not out of the question we might not have a Baker Jameson sort of partnership story one day.
Oh, I don't know. That might be another one that rocks the boat. Oh, dear. I don't know. He might take to that. I'll suggest it to him. I'm writing with him end of February. I haven't read the script yet. Helen Goldwyn has written a historical one for us, so... I'm not sure where it's taking us or what we're doing, but I've got 2 days coming up with him soon.
Excellent. So have you watched any of the newer Doctor Who, Louise?
Have I watched?
Have you watched any of the new Doctor Who's from this year?
Oh, yes. I think she's absolutely brilliant. I just adore it.
So I didn't get that, Robert.
Couldn't understand Robert there.
On Twitter,
something about Twitter. I didn't quite get that. So yeah. So
about Jody.
Something about Jody on Twitter. Is that what you said?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well. But it's just
interpretation.
So in regards to the new stuff, is there any particular story that stands out for you? That
Rosa.
Rosa, yeah.
Yes.
I thought you might say that.
Rosa was sensational.
Yeah.
Absolutely sensational. Yeah. And, you know, marvellous that it brought that piece of history to a new generation who won't know anything about her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of those people. I'm delighted to have been educated.
Simple act of not standing up, what it produced.
And that's what
That's the
origins
starts,
of Doctor Who, isn't it?
The
educational side of things. I think it's quite important that there's a little bit of education somewhere along the line, but they do have to be accurate with the education.
I'm often
side.
Asked what is the secret of Doctor Who's success? You know, why has it gone from generation to generation? I think apart from being original and unique, it has this fantastic philosophy of inclusivity and caring and trust and passivity. You know, it has a pacifist philosophy behind it, although it does believe in defending rather than attacking. And I just think it's glorious for kids to latch onto a program like that and have role models giving them that philosophy in such an innovative and entertaining way.
Excellent. I say, I know you mentioned Tenko earlier on, and that was a series I particularly liked at the time, and it was just a bit of a bonus that you happened to be in it. How many years did you do on Tenko?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
I must have said Alexa somewhere along the line. I didn't ask you.
Well, I'll tell you.
Turn off Alexa.
I didn't even say it. I said Tenko, not... No, I'm not going to say it now. Sorry, Louise, you carry on.
It's Tenko, my favourite job ever.
Was it?
Pennant Roberts, yeah. Pennant Roberts also cast me as Leela.
Yeah.
Also cast me as Blanche. And I think Leela and Blanche have an enormous amount in common. You know, they're feisty, they're uneducated, they're intelligent. They're daring, brave, bold. They've had very difficult lives.
I'm bold.
I think they've had a lot. You know, they look like they're polar opposites, but actually, I think the essence of them is the same. And we were writing about women who had actually existed. I know it was a drama, but it was, you know, every story was based in truth. And Valerie and Jill Heim had done an enormous amount of research before they wrote it, and I think did an absolutely amazing job. I recently devised and directed an audio, a download for Big Finish called Attagirl, ATA, which was the Air Transport Auxiliary.
Female, I remember that.
Pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're up for a BBC award. Pardon?
Ooh.
Pardon?
I didn't know you were part of that. No.
Oh, yes, I devised, directed, and was in. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
very, very proud. It's my baby. I'm very, very proud of it. So BBC I'm down to a shortlist of three to win the audio award.
Oh, I will be keeping our fingers crossed.
Pitching
congratulations
at them. Thank you. And we're pitching it at the moment to Netflix
cool
with an idea to get it on camera. Yeah,
that's good. I've got Netflix.
I did pitch it to independent companies about 10-15 years ago, but CGI has come on so much since then. The excuse then was that it was, you know, great idea, but the budget is just, you know, way out. Trying to get a Spitfire up in the sky costs an absolute fortune, but they can do so much with CGI now. I think we can get around that.
True.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, half the stuff on TV is CGI, and you wouldn't even realise it. It's incredible, especially you talk about Netflix and The Crown is a lot of the scenery on that is computer generated, and it's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah. Obviously, they have to bring back that. It's superb, isn't it? It's my favourite programme, other than Doctor Who.
Is it?
Absolutely love it. And I just think about Prince Philip's had that crash recently. I'm looking forward to the episode in about 10 years' time when they bring that into it.
Do you know, I had exactly the same thought.
Did you?
I bet someone's put pen to paper already.
Yes.
Thank goodness he's
just
all
wonder
right.
Who's, yeah, exactly. Just wonder who's going to be acting him at that point. It was wonderful of Prince Philip to did the Brexit news. It was currently sort of swamping the news programmes at the moment. Mm. So good old Prince Philip. So yeah.
Yes. To upstage the Brexit. Oh my goodness.
I'm absolutely delighted to hear of that. You're talking about your extra talents that we weren't entirely, you know, aware of. It's just fascinating to see what you're up to. They're very interesting, Robert. You sounded a bit like definitely like a canine with laryngitis on that particular occasion. At least we can hear you sometimes.
Omega factor.
Beg your pardon?
The Omega factor.
The Omega factor?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Which I did between Doctor Who and Tenko. It was a series recorded up in BBC Scotland.
Oh.
And it with Jimmy Hazeldine and John Carlyle. It was kind of the X-Files before the X-Files, but it didn't have any budget attached to it. So it wasn't nearly as dramatic, I suppose. It was about three scientists investigating the paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Of which I was one, so I was actually playing a doctor.
Did you?
Anne Reynolds. You did, yep.
Oh, brilliant.
I did the audience as well.
Yes. In fact, I'm prepping a novel now about the Omega Factor, which I'm going to record in next week.
So you don't have a lot of time to do stuff like dropping in on superfluous podcasts.
Excellent.
I do for the special ones.
Yeah, well, we're special, but not necessarily in the correct way. So what's the immediate plans for you at the moment, apart from going downstairs and have a cup of tea?
The immediate plans are reading this novel, another two or three stories for Big Finish, mm-hmm. writing for Big Finish. I'm up for various things along the South Bank. One of them is an Agatha Christie, hang on a minute, the name will come to me any second now.
I'll edit this bit, don't worry.
Not the Mousetrap.
No, not the Mousetrap. I've done 8 months for the Mousetrap. My agent rang me yesterday, actually, and said, do you want to go? I said, well, just keep it on the back burner for next year, maybe, but I think I'm a bit mousetrapped out. The one that's in the... Hang on, just give me a second.
Kirby will get it. Just pitch it to him. He'll get this one.
What is it?
It's currently in the law courts. It's being performed in the law courts. And it's called...
Google it, Kirby.
I don't know.
Play the housekeeper. It's... Pardon?
Come on, Kirby.
Kirby knows everything, Louise.
It's in the law courts, and it's... Hang on, I need to go. I'll get back to that.
Okay, come back to that.
Thanks for editing it. Because if anyone hears it, and I don't even know the name of the play, I'm never going to get the job, am I? The ambition is to either work at the Globe or the National somewhere along the South Bank at the Bridge Theatre, just so I can stay at home for a bit. And I've got a new little rescue dog. So she's 2 hours walking a day.
Oh, that's very a good lot of walking.
And I have three grandchildren now.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes. I know, it's absolutely glorious. All boys, I don't seem to do girls. Two sons, three grandsons.
And there's always time.
There's always time.
It's relevant for a time travel program.
I love them.
Going back to the era we're discussing at the moment, if we were watching that episode, the episodes from that series, at what point did you know you were leaving? Did you know at the beginning of the series or just before they started doing Invasion of Time?
That's an interesting question. I can't quite remember. I think probably halfway through Talons.
Oh, okay.
I made the choice.
Okay. Oh. That's quite early.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, these things you keep open as long as possible because you want to keep your options.
Oh, it's nice that they know they wanted to keep you.
Yes, it is. And Graham was, lovely.
I do hope Tom wanted you to stay
JNT
too.
JNT wanted me to come back and do the leaving of Tom and the coming in of Peter.
Yeah.
But I said I would do the last story and the first story, but he said no, I had to do the whole season.
Oh.
I declined that, but then I don't think I'd have been able to do Tenko.
Oh, yeah, probably not. In a way, that's a shame, but in another way, it's not, because like, Tenko is fantastic. So, yes.
And you know, the butterfly effect of these things, I was originally offered Rose in Tenko.
Oh. Was that Stephanie Beecham's character?
Pardon?
Was that Stephanie Beecham's character, Rose?
That's it. And, oh, hold on a second. I just pulled something up here on my computer. Witness for the prosecution.
Oh, well done.
Oh, okay.
That's the answer. Yes, so I went in to meet the producer just as a sort of matter of formality, really. And he took one look at me and said, you're too much of a tart to play Rose. I'd like you to look at the part of Blanche. And they locked me. This would never happen now. They locked me in a room with 7 scripts and said, choose which part you want. And Blanche just leapt off the page. And so I came out going, I'd like to play Blanche. But she had 2 fewer episodes than Rose.
Oh.
So I didn't come in till episode 3. And I managed to slip in another little job before I started filming, which was Whose Life Is It Anyway, where I met the father of my first child. So if I'd accepted,
brilliant.
If I'd accepted Rose, I wouldn't have Harry.
Oh,
the butterfly effect of one's choices are extraordinary.
Yeah. I think they call it fate, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Right, so you promised us 20 minutes, you've done over half an hour, so I have to thank you very much for coming. You're very good, and I'll see you again in a few hundred episodes of the show.
So, okay, so this is 400, yeah?
This is number 400, yes. Before we go...
You'll have me back at 500, will you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you back any time. You can come on as a co-presenter regularly, if you so wish. Get rid of Kirby, we'll have you back. Have you got any questions, Kirby, before we go?
Everything that has been asked already were things I was going to ask. You're good at it.
Oh, thank you very much. Ben was watching earlier on. Ben took over the show when Louise was last on. So if I've achieved more than that, I maybe have a career as a podcaster. My daughter's suddenly fidgeting in the background.
I'm looking out here to see if I can watch Tenko. It's not available.
I do apologise for the background noise. My erstwhile daughter is trying to get a bottle of J2O out of a facility in the back of the room. Her timing is not the best.
I know. Never is. Okay, sure.
Yes, thank you for that. Yes. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yes, goodbye.
Yeah, I've never seen Tenko, and I don't see any way I can see it, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find it somewhere. You've got time to find it, because it's not going to disappear anywhere, Kirby. Have a look on Amazon. Somebody's got to have it on video or VHS.
Yes, well. They do, but it's non-USA format.
Well, get a non-USA format VHS player.
You
right.
might find it on
your laptop.
Find it on eBay, you know.
Yes, eBay. That's the one.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
What? You hadn't thought? Oh, gosh, where's my little bell gone? Oh, well. Anyway, so I'm surprised.
Well, tracking down, Kirby.
Yes, thank you very much. Anyway, nice to have you back on for a moment there, Robert, and nice to hopefully see you again in a few hundred episodes. And thank you, Kirby, for sitting in the sidelines.
Like I did the last time I was just flummoxed because you surprised us with Louise.
Yes, I know. And thank you so much, Louise. And we'll
absolutely
see you
my pleasure.
Enjoy
the rest of your day.
Go and get yourself a cup of tea.
And go back to bed.
I'm not going back to bed. I've got too much.
Yeah. You're at 6:30 now. I may.
Okay.
See you later.
Lots of love.
Bye.
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 Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you.
And thank you for listening to the show. Please continue to do so. Sorry for the people who had to put up with it on my live feed, but that's what we do. And thanks to Toby for obviously putting up with us as well. Cheers. Yeah.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Toby.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Right, there we go then. That's excellent. Right, I'll be able to do an edit there at some point. Anyway, thanks, Toby. That's fantastic. Could have gone for hours.
Sorry, I was late, and then Skype didn't work.
Not good enough.
Anyway. anyway. All righty.
Take care.
Until next time.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Cheers. Thank you.
Nice talking to you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Right then, everyone. Oh, you're still there. Good. Right.
No, we're still here.
Good. The dog just flapped his ears. That was really bad timing, Magic. You should have done that about 10 minutes ago.
Sorry.
Right, it's really hot in here because I've got the fire on. I didn't have an opportunity to tell the Alexa to turn it off.
No, you can change the link word.
I don't want to change the link word because I often use my computer.
No, you can use Amazon.
Or Echo.
Yeah.
Or Echo.
Hmm. We're used to using Alexa, so we use that.
I use computer when I'm here in the basement, but the rest of the house is Echo.
What I should use,
that's
actually.
That's just so you can pretend to be Scotty from Star Trek, Kirby.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Well, if he's going to be Scotty from Star Trek, I will constantly be saying, Alexa, red alert.
Didn't work.
Alexa.
Didn't
work. Alexa, red alert.
For that.
Well, I can shut up now. Yeah, you can shut up now.
You are in trouble.
Alexa. 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 Shut up.
So he went from talking too loud to setting off alarms, I tell you. Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Adam. On this 400th anniversary, I want you to know from me that it's been an honor and a privilege.
Well, you're not leaving, are you?
Of this podcast, I thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm so grateful that you let me continue to be a part of it.
Yeah, we couldn't do it without you, Mary, because you've got that voice. You've got the voice of podcasting. You've got the perfect podcasting eloquence and voice, unlike Mrs. Melrose, who is... No, she's
just
all right.
Just a giggler. I have too much fun listening to everybody, and it's just, when I say too much fun, it's just, it's nice. I could have had a really rough week, rough day, and I'm like, oh, I've got a podcast, oh, I've got to do so much stuff around it, and then as soon as I'm on, it's fun, it's brilliant, I get to hang out with you guys, it's great just to still be able to be part of it, because, you know, just to have found friendship over the airwaves like this is fantastic.
It's a thrill every time I get like a birthday card or a Christmas card from, you know, that says Par Avion on it. And it's like, oh, this is from.
Right. Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much. Next week, I believe, Invasion of Time. No, I've got a white bridal show, but I don't think that'll affect the
Isla's joining
of the
me
show.
For this one. Tom's on late all week, and she's like, well, what are we going to do of the evening? I said, well, every night we're going to watch an episode of classic Doctor Who. Don't know about you.
Not, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and then we're into The Key to Time, which will be good fun. So, yeah.
Oh, I just finished watching The Key to Time for the first time, every one of them. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
No, good.
I mean, I've seen some of them many times, but I've never watched them all.
Hmm. Right then, okay, thank you. I'm going to go get a bath and, yeah, thanks. Good stuff. Goodbye.
Yes,
bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Take care.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
Oh my god, we've got some feedback. That's like amazing.
It was an absolutely brilliant. Can I get my words in first before you butt in?
I think the next Doctor's going to be an old Doctor.
So, what happened on Doctor Who this week? Do you remember?
Amy fell down to the ground.
Yeah. Who's that one?
That's the Doctor.
Right, David Tennant.
That's that Doctor.
Right, keep going on. Oh. You just pulled his arm off. And you keep saying, let's move on. What do you want me to move on to? What subject would you like to talk about on a Doctor Who podcast?
Next episode.
Well, I'm still talking about the episode.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I would have finished talking about it if you hadn't...
Shut up. You have to delete all of that now.
No, I won't.
This podcast is called the 20 Megabyte Podcast, and it's not 20 megabytes. So what's the point of going to get the 20 Megabyte
We've
podcast?
Already been over this ground. If you'd actually been able to attend a few podcasts, you might have found that out.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
If you remember, if you'd listened to last week's podcast, Adam, I told you I watched it last week.
Yeah, I'm just for the benefit of listeners that weren't listening to last week's podcast.
Don't you listen? Don't you listen?
But we could have went to the park by ourselves.
Could have what?
Went to the park.
Not yet. I've got to cook the dog's dinners and I've got to annoy you a little bit. Because where Alicia's not here.
The dog's dinners.
Then go to the park. No, because I've got to be around when your mum arrives home.
You sound like you've got tension-building music behind you, Robert.
It does. I would say it does. Yeah, it's a sort of music on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when they say final answer. Ding, ding, ding.
So there you go. There's my take on the web planet.
And a very good take it is too.
Indeed. Well said, Ian.
I hope so.
Ian?
You take care. Bye.
Sorry, yeah, Billy. Yeah, I know Billy, so I'm cracking up Billy.
The Morrocks never found the woolen thread that Ian left in the museum. There was an interview on the Extras saying that this is a comedy, making fun
this
of
is a blimmin' comedy.
Often side with the rebels.
Who's snoring?
Pick up.
Andy, can you stop snoring on your microphone, please?
Oh, sorry.